Shalom Chevra. When I told Yishai I was coming in on Sunday, he asked if I was going to be doing a live shmooze. I don't think we're there yet. Possibly next week, but probably will be. It will probably still be after Ben Zmanim. Trying to just work out on the details. There will be for Shana Bet, Mirtz Hashem, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We'll be doing a breakfast. So that'll be the week shmooze. So I guess we're going to have one during a serious mitzvah. We'll have our live shmooze. We'll obviously miss the Chevra who didn't come back, who's not here. We'll have to get Matan Avner somehow into the equation, because what's a shmooze without Matan Avner getting a shout out? But it was amazing seeing so many of you this week. It really gave me goosebumps. Amazing to be back shmoozing with you guys, and you guys are rocking it. Minion streaks are already going. Finishing Masechtas, planning your Limudim, unbelievable, beyond inspiring. This past Shabbos, those of you in America may not know this, there were a lot of blackouts in Israel. Apparently it was the hottest night ever recorded in Israel Friday night. I don't know if that's true. I feel like these things don't often get made up, but I don't know. I didn't see that, but somebody told me that. And there were a lot of blackouts. So Friday night, as per the minhag of the Merrills, is until there's no, from the first week until the last week that there's, from when we change the clock until we change the clock back, we make early Shabbos every single week. I like to eat earlier, just easier, make early Shabbos. I'm coming home from shul at about 6:20, 6:25 or so. I come into the lobby of my building and I see there's no light there. I'm like, oh, this doesn't seem so good. We've had a few of these, and I come in and there's no electricity. So now you start to have a few problems in hand. Number one, you're getting to about 6:30. At about 7:10, 7:15, 7:20, there's literally no light anymore. By 7:20, you literally can't see. I have to put my kids to bed, and we need to eat. And there's not so much time, and things do take some time. It's not so much time. That's problem number one. Problem number two, it was 105 degrees, and you can't open a window because you don't want that air coming in, so you literally have no air, and it's really, really, really hot. But okay, go eat the meal. Kids are up, put the kids to bed. Quickly after, my wife and I, we have some soup and the main, and then get to Seis HaKochav. If you make early Shabbos, when it becomes Seis again, you're supposed to have a kezayis of bread, and we had the kezayis of bread, and then we benched. Now it's 7:30. It's pitch black. I literally can't see anything. I think I'm in the blind museum. I can't see a thing. And okay, what are you gonna do? And we decided to go to bed. Not much to do. It's like really, really hot. I don't know how I'm gonna fall asleep. My son had this great idea. Keep pouring water on your face. It's really refreshing. Okay, until you go into the bed, it's no longer so refreshing. But okay, did that. Getting a little dizzy because it's pretty hot. And then at like 8:30, 8:40, the light, all the power comes back. So all our light's not in our room, and the fans, and then, the air conditioning come on right away. But like even the fan, you felt it got 20 degrees colder, and then ultimately the air conditioner came on. And the few things, I'm going to talk about this for a bit, just a few things to think about. So number one, I'll say at the end what I did, but just a question to think about. In that situation, or really that whole night, what do you do? What do you do at 7:30? Are you going to go in? You're literally in a pitch black hose. That's, I think, why a lot of people say the mile of knowing Torah by heart is, at that point, you could chazer mesechta. And I've done zichru, I could have done that. There are things to do, but the more Torah you know by heart, the more you're able to do in a situation like that. That's one option, but okay. Or you go to bed, it's like the time and back to the ones before electricity. Your day was basically from when light came when light went away. That was effectively how you operated your day. What would one do? I don't think anybody, if you're able to sit in the heat and be able to concentrate and be able to learn and be able to think Torah for an hour, 2 hours, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, Unbelievable. And I think if you go to bed, I think that also, you know, what are you going to do? I took the option. I went to bed. I'm a little claustrophobic, and if I was in a dark room and no light, I would be very, very nervous. And somehow being in your bed where naturally it's supposed to be dark, it feels you're in the more natural sense of what you're supposed to do. Okay. That was point number one. Then point number two, you wonder, so now it's 8:30, or you know, an hour later, 8:40, whatever it was, and the power went back on. Happened to be, I didn't really know what time it was. That's the truth. Like, I had no idea. It could have been midnight. It could have been 8:30. I literally had no clue. It went on. I just, I had no clue. I was just happy that there was air. But what does one do then? Does one get up because they did go to bed very early? Or does one just continue to sleep? So I'll be honest, I slept through the night. I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but I think like with all the things, sort of like the Super Bowl mindset that we talked about, it's always important to think about these things and to understand the value of our time and the value of what we can accomplish with our time and our life not meant to be sleeping. And you know, effectively I did say that, so I do wake up early, but even notwithstanding that, I definitely slept more this past Friday night than I normally do. But to just think that even during these difficult situations, is this what I'm supposed to be doing or not? You know, a lot of times you can make the right decision. I could sit here and say, yeah, I made the right decision. Doesn't necessarily mean I made the wrong decision with what I did. But you know, it's always something to cheshbon. Like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing with my time? Like, what are we supposed to be doing with our time? You don't have to have every second down. I mean, it's great if you can, but just to have some concept of your time. The next morning, Shabbos morning, talking to a guy after shul, and asking him, like, he was in a different part of town. Did you have a black guy? He's like, yeah. He's like, it was amazing. I'm like, how so? He's like, we don't really appreciate light. And often, you take it for granted. I take it for granted. I'm in a room that has light. I don't appreciate it per se that, you know, it's a lot easier having light. We don't think about it. And you know, like, these kind of things are always, like, you know, eye-open. And obviously, you know, a blackout for a few hours, Grant, even though annoying and really hot on Shabbos, is obviously a lot better than, like, COVID. You know, it's a short sign. But all these are signs from Hashem that there's so much in the world that we do not appreciate, that we totally take for granted. And it's a little bit of a wake-up call, to realize that at any second, you can lose anything. You can lose everything, and to realize what you have, to realize, you know, the beauty. And my neighbor also, they were telling us on Shabbos also, their 36th wedding anniversary this past Shabbos, and he said they weren't going to let the blackout get them down. They went around the lights and they sang and they were besimcha and they ate happily, and they said, yeah, we're not going to let it be that over the blackout that's gonna get us down. And just appreciating and realizing that in life, you know, it's about adjusting on the fly. It's about, you know, it's not always going to be exactly what you want, but being able to navigate as well as possible to be able to survive and to be able to thrive. This Motzei Shabbos, we are going to begin saying Slichos. I think for most, Slichos is not an enjoyable experience. I think for some, it's a horrible experience. But I think for most, it's not an enjoyable experience. You know, like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is just very, really, it's very interpersonal. But it's also, you know, you're there for like a while. And for most people, you're not looking like, I don't need Rosh Hashanah to be an... I don't think when people are talking about Rosh Hashanah, it might be 2 hours this year. I don't know if people are so excited about that. But if you tell me Slichos can be 15 minutes, I think that will get people pretty excited. It can be a little bit, we don't really know what we're saying. We don't really, it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't speak to us so much. Okay, maybe the yelling, the Yud Gimel Midos, that we can get more into. But Stam, it's not something that speaks to us so much. So we don't really get all that excited when it comes to Slichos. And I think a major, major problem with Slichos is both in the Hebrew and the English, it's very hard. Like, I don't think we really know what we're saying. It's, you know, it's on par with Kinos. You know, you get to these, you know, you have these portions of Tefillah, sometimes in the Torah also, that, like, you just don't know what it's talking about. Like, it's very, very difficult. It's very, very complex. So last year, I was talking with somebody, and he was telling me that I think we all miss the point of slichos. It's not really, per se, the words that we're saying. It's really our inner machshavos. It's what we are thinking. It's what's going on through our mind of the tshuva that we feel we need to do, and starting now. You know, you've had the three and a half weeks of Elul, at whatever point you get to starting to say slichos. Now you start saying slichos, then you have Rosh Hashanah, then you have a start to make tshuva and continuation of slichos, and then you have Yom Kippur and with Vidoy and Ilan, and, you know, again, more slichos. It's really just building up, but it's less the words and more what am I feeling, what am I sorry for, and already starting to think about what are the things that I'm doing that aren't so great, and lav dafka what the slicha is actually saying, or, you know, whatever it is, but our connection to how we're going to approach the next, you know, basically be a, you know, a little over 2 weeks from when we start slicha on Wednesday Shabbos or Sunday morning, you know, whatever one might say it, until you know, the following Monday night when we conclude Yom Kippur, so a little 2+ weeks of just asking for tshuva and thinking and feeling inside our kishkas that there's something I need to do. There's some level of asking Hashem for forgiveness. And that I've been doing something wrong, and recognizing that we have done something wrong, and moreover this year, but it's really every year. It's just obvious this year. It's clear as day. But realizing as a seaboard, there's something very, very wrong. There's something very, very wrong when we're being told we can't be a seaboard. When, you know, I'm being told, like, I can't really have anyone in my office, and it's that awkward thing. Oh, should I be by the entrance of the door? Or what if I come in a step? Or, oh, what if somebody comes and says, you're not allowed to do that? Or we shouldn't do it if we're not allowed to do it. Like, all these awkward things. Or the fact that, you know, I'm recording a shmooze and we couldn't do it in person. Or the fact that we have guys in yeshiva are in bidud. Or the fact that you have family that are in bidud. Or the fact that you have people who haven't been in a shul in 6 months. And have really, really been isolated. You know, it reminds me of, you know, in the second season of the TV show 24, there's this guy who basically lived in isolation because he was worried, like, basically a global disaster or something was going to happen, and he lived in isolation to an extent. You know, everybody on different levels. That's been what we've been doing for the last 6 months. Like, even now, you know, I came back to the office, but even now, the fact that, you know, we're distant or we're talking in mass, you know, that's something that is very, very different. And on a worldly level, on a mass level, yeah, there's something wrong. There's something that we need to ask for forgiveness. And understanding this Motzei Shabbos, when we start saying slichos, it's not like slichos we've had in the past. It's not like, okay, you know, things aren't great, but they're not terrible. No, this is, you know, this is going to, we're going to live our lives, and most likely, and, you know, for those of you who will ultimately have, Mirz Hashem, have children, you know, down the line, your children will probably never know from anything like this, anything as bad, anything as, you know, literally, and there's no, someone was telling me today from my shul that he thinks we may not be back in shul, that we may be still happening outside in 2022. I don't know if he's kidding or not, but that's insane. That's in a year and a half. That's crazy. It's a wild thing to think about. Like, this doesn't really seem, yeah, things are getting different. You know, it's not like it wasn't in March and April, but our lives are very, very far from being, you know, what they were. And that's a level of, on an individual to a Robin level, we need to take a little bit of responsibility that something has Hashem upset. Something was done that doesn't have a Kaddish Baruch Hu so happy with the world, and we need to ask for mechila. We need to ask. And okay, well, the slicha is saying this or whatever it's saying, but, you know, we need to end this. And for the shul that are saying Avinu Malkeinu, you know, on a lot of the individual things they're talking about, like, yeah, we need to pour our heart out, and it's less understanding the words and just the emotion that we're feeling that right now, like, I'm feeling an emotion in the way that I describe it. And I'm not blessed that I grew up under, you know, being fluent in Hebrew. So for me to look at a slicha in Hebrew, that's not doing it for me. But for me to think, you know, the fact that this has been going or that's been going, whatever the case might be, I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to tell Hashem, I'm serious. And we did wrong. We did wrong. We're willing as a unit to acknowledge we did wrong. And it's time to fix it. And it's time to ask for mechila. I thought my slichos last year were the most enjoyable it ever was, because I had this mindset, I had this perspective of, I'm just pouring out my heart during slichos, what I'm thinking. The words are secondary to my thought. I'm making my own slichos, I'm making my own tefillos of how I'm feeling, of my emotion that I am feeling, that I need to do as an individual, and as I have to do as a parent, as a husband, and as a rabbim, and as a member of society. That was what I was feeling, and it changed everything. It made the whole experience different, because as opposed to saying words again, 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 and the same words, and the same, you know, give me a different slicha, but I have no idea what I'm saying, and it's not speaking to me, it's not doing anything for me. Here I was able to open my eyes to seeing things from a different lens. So I think that's the mindset. I think that will make slichos a little easier. I think slichos are time off, and we get very tired because, you know, it's earlier or staying up late. But also realizing that it's also the week before Rosh Hashanah, so we may be tired, but we have to push ourselves, you know, pedal to the metal more than any other time during the course of the year, and to really push and to really try to accomplish and reach the highest of heights. And Emir Hashem, the Slicha season will be very, very successful, will be very, very, very meaningful, and very, very impactful. Have a wonderful day and evening.